Everybody, we are back. We're doing another episode of Trail Talk today. We are out on Resurrection. As always, you can follow along with this on Onyx. We'll put a link down in the description. We're with Casey Irwin of Black Truck Adventures. He's up here for the Tread Expo out of Texas, and we decided let's meet up and go through a little bit of his backstory and how he got into what he's doing. Cardo's providing the comms, communication for us. But Casey, thanks for coming out, man.
Thanks for having me out. Really excited to be out here. We had hoped to spend a little bit more time out here and even bring our KRX out here, but life got in the way, and one thing led to another. We ended up taking a quick flight out to Las Vegas, driving up here. We're going to be here a couple days, and I'm just really excited to be able to have this opportunity to come out and run trail with you.
Nice. Yeah, I saw your post of like, oh, we're jumping on a flight, and I was like, dang, that means they're not bringing anything four-wheel drive for sure.
Yep.
So, speaking of four-wheel drives, how did you get into off-roading? We talked a little bit before this started, and you guys did a lot of overlanding before you got your KRX. So why don't you give me a little backstory of how did Casey and Paula get into off-roading in general, and then we'll go into how you ended up picking up a sweet KRX.
Well, I grew up on a ranch. And we were always, you know, if you've got an animal that has a problem or you got to go get an animal, it's always going to be back in the middle of nowhere, back behind five mud holes. And we're getting stuck all the time. So I kind of grew up around that. And I moved, you know, for work, I moved to the city as an adult and kind of got out of it and wasn't outdoors a lot, you know, stuck in an office cubicle. And in 2019, Paul and I started whitewater kayaking, and that got us back to going outdoors and started camping and going to see really cool places. So we started working on, you know, making camping more fun, more easy to do, and jump and go at a moment's notice.
Yeah, just so, you get into it, and it's just like any other hobby. It starts to creep. Oh, yeah. It starts to take hold of you.
Yeah, and you get scope creep on your projects, and and it's a never-ending project. So
yes, sir.
I'll get to this later, but I think the KRX is just kind of an extension of our never-ending project of trying to be outdoors and enjoy the beautiful lands that we have to enjoy. And it also gives us a lot of quality time that we get to spend together, and we get to take our kids out and do stuff like that with our kids without all the distractions that we have in other things that we might do. I mean, we're out here, and there's no telling what kind of creature might run out in front of us. We never know what we're going to see, and we got this beautiful landscape, and there's so many things to see in this beautiful country of ours that a lot of people don't get to see.
Yeah.
So what happened, what really got us started is we did a guided kayaking trip through Desolation Canyon on the Green River. We did 86 miles in 6 days, and it was a raft supported trip. So it was not a hardcore kayaking trip. It was more of a vacation.
86 miles in 6 days is still, that's a lot of time to be on the water. Like, it's like you don't have to sell it short.
Well, it was. We weren't doing everything ourselves. We had guides cooking for us, and so once we got to camp, it was just kick back and relax.
Okay, well, that's awesome still.
Enjoy our time. But we had to drive to Green River from Texas because we wanted to bring our paddles, because paddles are kind of a personal thing.
And you're talking your personal, like, rowing paddle? Or
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
Set? Okay.
No, a rowing paddle. They provided the boats, and a boat's a boat. But your paddle, you've got it all set up and taped for you. And
I had no idea it was that, like, that's total. I just have no experience with it, but that's kind of interesting. I imagine it's just like anything else.
It would be similar to the way you've got your suspension dialed in on your rig.
Yeah, or like maybe the way like a hockey player has their stick set.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a better analogy.
Okay, but cool.
So we had to take our paddles up there, so we decided we'd take a week and drive up there and go see some stuff through Colorado, take Paula through Moab, you know, run a Jeep tour, just take our time and have fun going up there. Well, we found out really quickly that we do really well road tripping together, and we get to spend a lot of time together, and we get to talk. And that for us, that's a key portion of our relationship, is we get to talk and communicate. So time in the truck is time building our relationship. So
yeah,
we really loved it and said, let's do this some more.
And was Paul, was this in your Sierra that you have now, or was this in a different vehicle entirely?
This is in one of the first iterations of the Sierra we have now. We've changed up the configuration probably four times now. We started, and I want to emphasize this. You know, we've got some rigs that are pretty crazy built out, but you don't have to start that way. We started out with a ground tent and a wagon.
Nice.
And way too much stuff.
Yeah.
But when we went out on the green, we had a Yakima rack with some clips to hold our paddles and carry our boats. And that's all we had on the truck. And we decided we really liked that, so next thing, we got a rooftop tent.
Okay.
And we started going out more, and we really enjoyed our rooftop tent, but now we need to do more stuff. We need to shower. We need to stay out longer.
Yeah.
And we started staying out longer, and like in 2021, we came out to Utah, and we spent 6 weeks in Utah. We
went to Moab. All out of your truck?
Maybe once a week we'd stop at a hotel and reset, clean up, and get everything.
Fill waters, all that stuff.
You know, go shopping, get water, all that good stuff. But most of the time was spent out places like this. We're camping BLM land, and around that time is when we got into dispersed camping, where we go out somewhere where there's nobody anywhere near us.
Entirely and self-sufficient. You gotta be
entirely self-sufficient, and Our rig and our setup has evolved over time, and we're continuing to fine-tune that, which, as we were talking about earlier, it's a never-ending process.
No, it never stops.
And so we started with the Yakima rack, then we went to the rooftop tent, and then we decided to build a trail rig that was specifically for running trails, because Sierra's got a 6-inch lift on it, and it gets a little tippy at times.
Okay.
If you get 25, if you start getting into around 30 degrees off camber, it gets real uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, all those big vehicles, even the Jeeps and stuff, at least to me, are terrifying when you start to get off camber, because something like this, and you probably see it in your KRX, it's so low that it feels way more planted than like a full-blown truck or, you know, anything of that nature.
Right, and so we decided, and the Sierra kind of started, that's the truck we had, and we started building on it with what we had, and without really a plan, overall plan on how this rig was gonna work out and what it was ultimately gonna be.
I know that game. You start without an end game, and you're like, that looks cool, I'm gonna do that, and then before you know it, you're like, man, none of this really flows together.
What have we built here? I mean, we got Frankenstein.
Exactly.
So we decided to build a rig from the ground up that was going to be strictly a trail truck. And we settled with, I'm familiar with the GM products, so I know how to work on them. So we settled on the Chevy Colorado, the ZR2, and the AAV Bison package as our base.
Okay, nice. So that's a really good place to start. Those are pretty sweet.
Yep. And we built this truck. I won't tell the whole story, but it was during the parts shortage, and we ordered the truck in May. We took delivery in December. There was a long back and forth on what was going on. And even when it showed up, it didn't have rocker guards. They were part of it, but they just didn't have the parts anymore to put on this truck.
And did they say, we'll send them to you when we get them, or was it just like, maybe they don't know?
Nope. They gave us a credit and said, which I didn't care, because I was going to put welded frame-mounted sliders on it.
Right.
So I was going to rip them off anyway, so it worked out well for me.
Yeah, that worked out for you. That's great.
So we ended up, we built this truck, and we had built the system together, so we were pulling we bought a turtleback trailer so we could set up our base camp and carry all our camping gear and stuff in the turtleback. We could drop the trailer and go run trails, go have fun, go do silly stuff in the truck.
Yeah, and that's perfect.
And that worked great. We had a great time doing that. Unfortunately, Labor Day, last year, 2024, we were coming back from scouting a campsite where we were going to have an event with a few other channels and our subscribers, and we were scouting campsites for a location that could hold the rigs and have the event. And we ended up having an accident. We rolled the truck at highway speed. The trailer flipped over and passed us, took us into the ditch and rolled us. The truck is totaled. The trailer's totaled. So we're back to square one.
Right.
With that particular truck. And we're still figuring out what we're going to do going forward as far as getting back to that.
Right.
But we do have some surprises coming.
Okay.
We got some things in the works.
I love a good surprise. I'm excited.
We're not ready to reveal what we're doing.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we had fun building that truck, and Paula has always wanted a 4Runner to run trails.
Okay.
Because mostly I drive, but she's getting into driving, and she wants to drive. She's just got to get some seat time.
Yeah. Paula would be here, other than she obviously hurt her arm in that accident. And so you told me, she's like, she's distraught. She can't make it out. She's really bummed, but it's better if she heals up.
Yeah, and she's still got some pain in her shoulder. And she probably, getting bumped around wouldn't be the best for her.
But, no, no way.
But she's the reason I'm here today, because we thought we just weren't going to come to Tread. And she's like, no. We've already got our accommodations booked. We can't get the money back. Let's get on a flight and fly to Las Vegas and drive up there. We're going to the expo.
Nice.
And that's the way she is. When she gets in her mind, she wants to do something, it's going to get done.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's good. I mean, everybody needs – I shouldn't say everybody. I need a woman like that in my life, and that's how mine is too. She's like, this is happening. Figure it out. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do it. We'll make it work.
And it was literally maybe 48 hours ago we booked the flight.
That's awesome.
So we had our accommodations. We booked the flight. Then we said, well, we got to find a rental car. Literally the night before we got on the flight, we booked our rental car to get up here.
Very good. Anyways, sorry to pull you off that, but you were talking about she wanted a 4Runner. Sorry, I totally
took
you off of that.
She wanted the 4Runner, so, and I guess it was March of last year, she picked out her 4Runner, and we chose the SR5 platform because we're going to redo the suspension and everything, so no need to buy all the fancy stuff.
Yeah, so just, if you buy a TRD,
just to rip it off.
Just like those sliders, yeah, they're going to come off.
Yeah, yeah. So we started, we started with armor, so we got the skid plates on, and then we got bumpers on. And I have the Dobinson suspension kit in the shop right now, waiting to get some lift time to install that on 4Runner. And then as soon as Paula gets her arm back in check, we're going to go out to Maris in Amarillo, which is a off-road park club that we belong to.
Okay.
And get her some seat time.
Nice. Has she ever driven a 4Runner, or where did that I want a 4Runner type of obsession come from? Or maybe it's not an obsession, but
she just tells me that she's always wanted one. She likes the truck, and there's a lot of accessories for 4Runners.
Their following is insane. The aftermarket's wild.
Yeah. And that was one of the things with the GMC Sierra. There was literally no aftermarket support, so a lot of the modifications we did to that truck,
you're all good.
Oh, we're good. There we go. So a lot of modifications we did to the Sierra, we had to fabricate stuff.
Okay, so you basically say, I want this. It doesn't exist. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out. And, you know, we may have to weld some stuff. We may have to throw some stuff on a CNC machine. But we looked at what we wanted, or we need this particular bracket, something like that. And we just figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
So we're doing this, we've always been interested in the side-by-sides. We see them out at Moab and a lot of fun, and the side-by-side can do a lot of things. Like, I wouldn't bring my full-size truck down this trail. Just it's just not feasible.
Yep. It's just, it's like we were talking before, it's just, it's the same playing field, but there's just differences, right?
And yeah,
what you can do.
It's like if I go play an executive golf course, I'm not taking my driver. You know, yeah. I'm going to take some short irons. And
yeah.
On her birthday last year, we ran Imogene Pass. We rented a razor to go run Imogene Pass, and she just loved it.
Yeah.
And we're looking at Sand Hollow. We came out to Sand Hollow for the inaugural Off-Road Record Games. That was the first
right.
time we came to Sand Hollow. We spent a week out here, went to the games, had a great time.
Did you bring your truck then, or did you?
I've got some pictures of the big truck up on the dunes and up close to the chute.
Close to the chute. In proximity.
Yeah. In proximity, yeah. Yeah, we took that big heavy beast all the way up there. It kind of walked sideways up the last part of it, but it was a fun time. And that was the first time Paula had been to the Hurricane area, and she loves it down here. There's just so many things that fit into our wheelhouse. The things that we like to do are all here.
Right.
So we just really love coming here because there's just so many different things that we can do. And the weather's usually good.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice, calm, fun place to be.
Yeah, and there's nowhere else. I don't know. I've never been to the off-road parks and stuff that you've mentioned, but in my experience, I haven't found anywhere else that is as unique and as cool off-road wise as Sand Hollow, unless you're into mud and stuff, because we don't have any of that.
Right.
But if you're into rocks, sand, that type of stuff, I prefer Sand Hollow over Moab, to be honest. But that's just me. So nobody shoot me in the comments.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Moab's got really crowded. I mean, they have traffic issues, and it's just a different environment.
It for sure is.
I mean, Sand Hollow's pretty open. Moab, they've got the crypto up there, and, you know, you got to stay the trail, and they're having problems with people that, for the most part, I think it's people that aren't educated on the biology of the uh-huh. area. And that's something that we try to do. We participate in Tread Lightly and Blue Ribbon Coalition and Utah Public Lands Alliance, because if we don't take action and participate, we're gonna lose our access.
Yeah,
and that's something that's near and dear to us. I mean, you'll see Paula on some of her videos. The first thing she does, she gets out and picks up trash, and. You know, some of the things we find are just very disappointing. I'm not going to stand on my soapbox to talk about that, but that's something we all need to be cognizant of.
100%. So you bought this KRX. Have you done anything with it? Have you done any trails with it? So what have you done so far, I guess is what I'm asking.
So far, I bought a lot of aftermarket parts.
Very good.
we've got some because they're I don't want to go out and there's a few things I want to do. I want to get some skids. I want to get some protection. I want some comfortable seats and
right.
a good harness. And we actually, our initial plan coming out here, we were going to bring it out here and we're going to get a aftermarket roll cage installed. So that so that we're 100% safe, because get me out here and, you know, I'm still new in the side-by-side world,
yeah.
but I'm used to doing, you know, wild stuff in my truck, so I may try something, and it's very likely that I'm going to flop it
it over. Voodoo, that's the right move. I didn't believe in cages for a while, and then it just took one little thing that you're like, oh, I nicked the cage on that, and it shouldn't have moved the way that it did.
Right.
And then now, obviously, Lane does great work up at Voodoo. This is one of their cages. They're phenomenal.
So I should be further along with the KRX, but some things have come up with the thing I mentioned earlier, that we've got a surprise coming. And
okay.
I've kind of put the KRX on hold, but coming out here with you, this has really got me pumped up, and we're probably going to get the KRX.
I'm happy to be a bad influence.
No, you're a good influence because it gets me motivated to put in the late nights at the shop and just get it done so we could get out to some places that are closer to us, get some seat time, and then maybe September or so come out here and just block off some time and come out here and spend some time out at Sand Hollow just having fun and seat time learning the machine.
Yeah. Have you so you haven't done a lot, you haven't had a lot of seat time in the machine, but have you noticed, I mean, I don't know how you would have, but have you noticed any real difference in the communities between like what you had with like the ZR2, what you have with the Toyota? I'm curious if there's any differences that you see there between that and like what you've seen in the side-by-side world, or if it's all kind of their own little niches maybe. I don't know. I feel like ZR2 is pretty niche in the off-road world. It's awesome. That little Colorado is awesome. But it is fairly niche.
It is niche in the ZR2 community. They're passionate about their trucks. They're passionate about the platform. And we do have some groups that get together a couple times a year, but not like you have with the side-by-side groups. Like our guys at the shop that go out to the mud parks, they have set dates where it's like this group of families, we're going out to the mud park this weekend, and it's a standing thing. And sometimes, you know, one person may not be able to come this weekend, but they kind of have a standing set schedule where this is not exactly where it is, but it may be the third Thursday of the month, we're all going to the mud park.
Yeah, it's just something that's just a given. Like Christmas comes every year, mud park week comes up, and that's what we do. Okay, that's cool.
And also the side by sides, you're off. I mean, yours I think is street legal, but for the most part, they're totally off road. So you're going to a destination, doing your thing, and then you're camping.
Yep.
Whereas with the overland community, the travel is part of the whole trip, because we're a lot of times we're convoying, and the whole convoy we're on the radio chattering about what's going on, and then we're at camp and we're figuring out, okay, well, maybe we'll camp 2 days here and just hang out, or maybe go on a hike, or somebody's going to go fishing. You may sit for a little bit, but then we're moving. It's not so much we're going to this place and do our thing. It's more we're kind of doing our thing throughout the whole trip, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And that's, I can definitely see the appeal to it. Let's put it that way. I love the side-by-side, but I'm not going to lie. I was walking around Tread, like when they were setting up yesterday, talking to people, and like you see some stuff from like American Adventure Lab, and you're like, man, that would just be so fun to just like, I'm going to disappear for a week, and I'm not going to touch dirt, or I'm not going to touch asphalt for a week, and I'm going to just do it all self-contained. I can definitely see the draw. I don't think I'm ready to commit to buying something like that, but I can see it for sure.
Yeah, and we've seen some of those out on some of the trails. We did Rimrocker a few years ago from Montrose to Moab, and on the Colorado side, we were running east to west. On the Colorado side, we met a group of side by sides that were all decked out with the expedition type configurations.
Okay, yeah, like all overland kit kind of stuff.
Overland kit, and they passed us on the trail. They were headed eastbound. We were going westbound.
Yeah,
and that was really cool to see those rigs.
No, that's super awesome, but I don't know. It's like you say, it's really hard to do stuff like that when it's like, okay, my side by side is street legal. I still can't go on interstates, right? Like,
sure.
So if you do things like that, and I have a group of guys that do overland trip every year, and every year I'm like, can we make it all dirt or county roads? Can we make it all dirt or county roads? And then I can come, because it's you're limited. You're like, crap, okay, they're going to jump on I-15 and go 40 miles down the road to the next spot. I got to find some back roads, woods, whatever, try and stay with them. So I think that's a big part of it, and I think it's cool to see more people pushing the overland stuff. I'm just curious to see how, like, are we going to eventually get over that, like, I need to have the asphalt part too.
Yeah, and it, sometimes, like, we hosted an event in the Ozarks last fall, and we went out and ran trails, and the quickest way back to camp was to hop on the interstate. But we were like, no, we don't want to be on the interstate. The people on the interstate are driving crazy. It's dangerous. Let's take the county roads back to the camp. Yeah, it took an hour longer on a 45-minute, what would have been a 45-minute trip, took us an hour and 45 minutes. But yeah, we were a lot calmer when we got home, and we got to see some cool stuff.
You didn't get all that, that road rage built up?
Didn't get the road rage going. And that's one of the things that Paul and I, a lot of times, we have to just slow down. Because we're just like, go, go, go. We want to see this. We want to see this. We want to go here. We want to go here. And yeah, sometimes we miss out. There, Capitan Mountain in New Mexico, I don't know how many times we've driven by that place. And every time we go by, we say, well, we're going to stop over there and go up to the top of the mountain one time. And we just have to say, we'll get there when we get there. We're going to go up and see this mountain. And
yeah,
we have to make our, discipline ourselves to do that.
And I need a little bit of exercise in that, to be honest.
We're getting better at it, but it's still, and it's mostly me. Paul says, whoa, Bronco Billy, pull back on the reins. We need to slow down and just enjoy the time that we've got here.
Yeah, that's super fun. My wife has accused me of the same thing. It's always like, well, you're just trying to get to where you're going. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's where we're going. Like, we're trying to get there. And she's like, well, just stop. Breathe, like, let's just take a little breather, let the kids play in the sand, you know, do whatever. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that that's in my head. I'm always like, we're going to X, so when I get to X, then I will stop. But it's a lot of stuff along the way.
I think we need to think about it a little different. Like we're definitely bringing our KRX out here and spend some time out here. We're definitely taking it to Moab. And there's other places that are not as widely advertised that we want to go see and go experience some of these trails. I mean, I could name off any state, and there's some hidden gems there. We just have to look for them and find where they are.
For sure. There's a guy around here, his name is Brian Barlow. He runs this company called High Country Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And they build side-by-side overland trailers. And that's something that I am like, I like look at his site probably twice a day. I'm like oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Like a trailer to pull behind the side-by-side.
Like a small trailer that are like 15-inch tires. Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't want to screw up his specs. But it's got a pivoting axle on both sides. So it's got an axle that goes through. Brian, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your stuff, man. I'm trying not to, but it's got an axle that goes through, and then it's got these cantilevers on both sides, and it's got two sets of tires on each. So the tire, like what would be the tire, can pivot up like a track and go over stuff. And they just did a big Trail Hero X thing with it. And that's one thing that I've just kind of been like, oh, dude, I would love to try something. Like, I would love to just be like, okay. I don't know how far I can get, but like in a side-by-side, I want to see like, could I do, like, a couple states? Could I do, like, a whole, like, I don't know, the western states? Could I do north to south of the United States all from a UTV?
Well, I don't know the guys, but we did pass some guys on Rimrocker. Obviously, they did two states. They did Moab to Montrose because that's where we passed them. So it's obviously doable. They didn't have trailers. And after this conversation, I don't know if we can be friends anymore. Because you're stimulating the economy and emptying my pocketbook. Because we're talking about trailers on side-by-sides. I'm still working on building out the side-by-side. And, oh, man.
Speaking of that trail etiquette stuff, I don't know exactly whose this is, but we'll take it back.
I think it doesn't belong out here, for sure.
It for sure doesn't. It's definitely Polaris piece, too, which is cool. Because it says so right on the side. We'll go take it back to the water tanks.
Sounds cool.
I'm going to go to the other side so I don't crush stuff.
We came by and we found a piece of debris here, and we're doing our part to get it off the trail and back to where it can be properly handled.
Yep, we'll see.
So we have to take a little pause here.
No worries. We're fortunately, we just got to remember we're about 4 inches wider on that side now. Sticks out a little bit.
God.
I'm happy to be the bad influence and like show you all the cool off-road stuff that you should definitely take a look at for your KRX. You should, at the Tread Expo, they have their stuff there. You'll definitely take a look at it.
Cool.
But I want to cross over that boundary and be like, okay, the side-by-side can do those long-term things. Like, obviously, it's not the optimal thing for that long-term longevity, doing long trips like that, but it's doable is kind of what I want to prove.
Well, and that's one of the things I really like, and kind of the way we built our fleet is we've got a lot of flexibility. Like, yeah, the Sierra has an alu cabin on it, and we can literally live out of that thing however long we need to go. I mean, we've got refrigerator, we've got water filtration, we've got water storage, we've got showers, we've got an air conditioner.
You're set.
I mean, we're set. We can go wherever we can go for as long as we want in that rig. And for some trips, it's the right rig. Like, we were planning on going to Overland Expo P&W. We were going to trailer the side-by-side up to St. George and spend some time here, and then drop the trailer and the side-by-side at one of the storage facilities here and take the truck up to P&W in Redmond, Oregon, and then come back through Hurricane, pick up the side-by-side on our way back home. That was our initial plan. But as often happens, life attacks. One thing happens, another thing happens. So we had to adapt and adjust our schedules, and we'll just have to put that off to a little bit later. But we're still making the best of what we're able to do in the limited time that we have on this trip.
Yeah.
And that's, getting back to Tread Expo, that's one of the reasons we really wanted to come to Tread Expo, to meet some of the players in the side-by-side world. And as far as I'm concerned, this is ground zero for side-by-side stuff.
I think you're right. I think, I totally agree with you on that.
And I'm new to this space, so what better way than go to an expo at the heart of this space and get some education, learn, you know, what products are out there, learn some more of the challenges that I'm going to have with building out this rig, some more of the capabilities, some more of the mechanical weaknesses that I need to maybe nip in the bud before they become a problem for me.
Yeah, you'll trust me. There's it's funny. It's a Tread Expo, but put on by a side-by-side guy. It's put on by Rob. He's pulling the community together, and it's awesome. And I think that you're right. As far as like the innovation and stuff, there's definitely innovation happening in other places. But as far as like pushing it in the rocks, I don't think that there's anywhere else where there's so many people just driving the UTV industry in general. So we have like Rob and that gang, Roger, Mike, all of the Voodoo Wrecking Crew. You got BJC, Parley, Braden Dalton. Guys just pushing the absolute limits of these things here. And like I say, I moved here for this. Like this is, like you say, it's not only ground zero for side-by-side stuff. I feel like it's ground zero for anything rock and sand related. And that's why I'm here personally. So I just totally agree with you.
Well, in full disclosure, we're looking, you know, as soon as we can get a place somewhere out here to have a place to come to.
Is that your surprise? Did you just spoil it?
No. That's everybody knows I want to come out west. I don't know what the temperature is. It was 113 in Las Vegas yesterday, and I was just fine. 98 in Dallas with 82% humidity is unbearable. And it's June.
Yeah.
August gets to where it's unsafe to work outdoors.
Yeah, you're just like, I can't do it. That's funny because it's been in the teens here, and I'm like, I don't want to leave my house. I want to go sit on the lake. It's so hot. But we don't have the humidity, but I still feel like I'm baking. So, anyways, we kind of wrapped up the top of this trail, but it's been awesome to have you out. We'll run out to the Tread Expo. I'm sure we'll bump into each other out there too. But anyways, where can people find you? What are you doing? Plug yourself, man. Where's all your stuff at?
Yeah, we're on Instagram. It's @BlackTruckAdventures. We've got YouTube at Black Truck Adventures. We have a Facebook account, but we don't really use it. You can message us on any of those platforms, and we've got a, you can go to our website, www.blacktruckadventures.com.
That's awesome. Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming out and chatting with me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. This has been great.
Awesome. Okay, we'll catch you guys later.